Been working through this series, Hearing God, and Micah's been talking about it. It's been really good. We're talking about the different ways that God speaks to us. How can we hear from God? All right, and the statement that we've kind of been focusing on is that God will speak to you personally when you listen to Him intentionally. All right, so God does speak to us personally, but there has to be some intentionality there. We have to be intentional when we listen to Him. All right, and we're going to talk about another way of doing that today. Specifically, we're going to be talking about hearing God through His Word. All right? So the other ways that Micah has been talking about, if you could put that slide up there, the different titles, because I don't remember them all. Thankfully, we have some Grace students that are helping and serving up top with the slides. It's awesome that they took the initiative to want to serve in this way. I love it. And Neil is being super patient and awesome up there. So, guys, thank you so much. How we hear from God, out loud, in stillness. Today we're doing through His Word, and then we'll move on and talk about how God speaks to us by our feelings and then through others. Today, hearing God through His Word. All right, so what I don't want to do today is to just give examples of how God has spoken to people through His Word. I don't want to do that. There's a reason why we're going to talk about it. What I want to do more specifically today is try to outline how God speaks to us through His Word, and then try to find some personal application that will put us in a better posture to hear God through His Word. All right, so it's going to be personal. We're trying to make this more personal. We're not going to focus on just specific examples in the Bible of how God speaks through His Word. So before we even get into this, let's go to God in prayer, because there's nothing any of us can do without Him. All right? Lord, we love You. It's an honor to be able to be up here and tell people that I love so much things that God has told me through Your Word. So I'm very thankful and honored and humbled to be up here, Lord. I thank You so much. I pray that Your Word will prove to be fruitful like always, Lord. I pray that the words that I speak will be Your words. I pray that the message today will be from You, that it will have nothing to do with me at all or anyone else but You. Speak personally to us, Lord. We are listening intentionally. We know that You speak through Your Word, and we are here to listen, Lord. So I pray that You do this work and You do something amazing here, God. We love You. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, so first and foremost, last time I was up here, we talked about things that as believers, followers of Christ, and as a church, as Grace Church, things that we stand on, all right? And the number one thing, the first thing that I talked about, and number one thing is that this is absolute truth. All right? There is no situation or circumstance that can disprove what God says through His Word. Nothing. We believe that this is true. All right? What God says in His Word is absolutely true. All right? That is the foundation of what we're doing here. All right? This is the foundation of what we're going to talk about today, because if we're going to God's Word, we have to believe that it's true. All right? And if there's things that we're struggling with, if there's things that we don't fully believe, that's okay. God still is growing all of us. We're all in this together. We're all being grown, all right? So this was funny as I was going through this. As I was preparing for this, I'm like, okay, my first inkling was like, okay, I got to go to like pastors that I like to listen to, or maybe podcasts that I like to listen to, something about hearing through God, from God through His Word. And then after like a couple days of frustration and disappointment, I realized, okay, I'm missing the complete point of what I'm talking about. I'm not going to God's Word. So like all of these other supplemental things that I'm going to are just that. They're just supplemental resources. Our number one resource has to be God's Word. This is number one, what we go to. All those other things are just that. They're just supplemental. All right? This is our number one resource. So as I did that, I laughed to myself, I laughed to myself. That's how I laughed to myself. I was trying to think of something funny, like how the Grinch laughs in his throat, and he's like, I don't know if anyone knows that. That makes me laugh every time. So I laughed, and I'm like, okay, I'm going straight to God's Word to hear from God. That's how it works. And as I was talking about, trying to put this together, I'm like, okay, there are so many verses in the Bible that I could go to that would help us understand how God speaks to us through His Word. I could go to 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and righteousness. And there's a bunch of other verses that I could go to help prove this. But that's not what we're going to do. We're going to focus on two chunks of scripture, and then we're leaving it to ourselves to dig in ourselves and see what God has to say. We already know, all right? We're trusting the fact that all of God's word is trustworthy and true and right and good for teaching and rebuking. We know this, all right? So we're going to look at two chunks of scripture, and we're going to see what God's saying through his word, all right? Micah's been talking about this book he's been reading. Dallas Willard wrote it. One of the quotes in the book I had to share because it fits right what we're saying. His speaking most commonly occurs in conjunction with study of and reflection on the Bible, the written word of God, wherever the Bible is available. All right, so that's what we're going to do. Today we're going to study and we're going to reflect on the Bible. Before we get into the scripture we're going to look at, I want to lay out something that God envisions, all right? There's two different main ministries of the word that the Bible envisions, all right? Both are extremely important. Both are codependent, all right? The first one is the public ministry of the word, and that's when all it is really regularly scheduled teaching and preaching of God's word to gather groups in church. That's what we're doing right now. This is public ministry of the word. All right, it's where we take the foundational truths of the Bible and we lay them out for a group of believers, okay? The point of this is to get us all in the same headspace, headed in the same place, on the same page. All right, that's what the public ministry of the word is, all right? The thing with that is that because the audience is general, we're in a larger group, the application tends to be general as well, all right? God also envisions another ministry of the word, aside from public ministry, and that's the private ministry of the word, all right? And that's when we take those foundational truths that are taught in public ministry and we apply them to our personal lives, all right? We go home, we sit down, we close the door, we open up the word of God on our own, and we allow God to take those foundational truths that we learned in public ministry and apply it to our personal lives, all right? So that we can better understand what it means to live in the light of those truths that we were taught in public ministry, all right? Both public and private ministry of the word are essential and important. They depend on each other. They're two parts of God's growth plan, all right? Neither of them should be neglected. And I say this because if we're just coming Sunday mornings to hear God through his word, and that's the only time that we are taking in God's word, then that's not enough. We're cutting the conversation short with God. Allow God to speak to you through his word on your own. Allow God to take those foundational truths that we're talking about right here and dig deeper and get personal into your life. And that happens when we open up the word of God on our own. All right? Whether it happens by yourself or in a small group, your life groups, with your spouse, with a friend, give that private atmosphere, take advantage of it, that private ministry of the word. All right, so I just wanted to throw that out there because Sunday mornings are just as important, all right, as a time by yourself. You need to be doing both, though. We can't just do one of them. Take advantage of both ways that God wants to speak to you through his word. All right, so the first thing we're going to look at is Psalm 19. So if you want to open up your Bibles, it's going to be up here too. Turn to it. We're going to go through Psalm 19. So I'm going to read this, and then we're going to briefly talk about it. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. What the psalmist does here, and guys, I'm just reading verses 1 through 9, all right? Because we're using Psalm 119 as like a jumping off point to get into the main thing we're going to talk about. All right, so I'm just going through verses 1 through 9. What the psalmist does here is he breaks these verses into two parts. All right, the first part is verses 1 through 6. And if we look at those as they're up there, we see that this is God speaking to us through his creation. All right, this is referred to as the world book. All right, and if we're using theological terms, this would be general revelation. All right, this is God speaking to us through his creation. And we talked about that in previous weeks as Micah talked about God speaking to us in stillness and in other ways. Go outside. Enjoy God's creation. Let him speak to you through his creation. For the past 2 weeks, man, I've been doing this awesome thing where at night I've been going for walks. I'll go for like an hour walk. It's freezing cold out. It's snowing. It's absolutely beautiful. It's been really, really good. Just experiencing God's creation. All right? Turn your phones off. All right? Be still. Enjoy what God has for us. He wants us to enjoy his creation, and God speaks to us through it. All right? That's the first part of these verses, and it's just as important as the second part, but I'm not going to focus on it today because we're focusing on hearing God through his word. All right? The second part, verses 7 through 9. This is God speaking to us through his word. All right, so you have the world book, his creation, and then you have the word book, the actual Bible. This would be special revelation. God speaking to us through his word. All right, now I have to read it now that we understand the perspective here. I'm going to read those verses 7 through 9 again and see how God is speaking to us through his word. All right, this is what the psalmist says. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. So, before we talk about the four main things that these verses teach us, I had to share this awesome quote by Charles Spurgeon that talks about the word book and the world book, special and general revelation. He says, he is wisest who reads both the world book and the word book as two volumes of the same work and feels concerning them, my father wrote them both. Take advantage of both. Read God's word, but enjoy his creation. Do both at the same time. God is amazing how he speaks to us. All right. So through those verses 7 through 9, God speaking to us through his word, we're shown four things about God's word. All right. First, God's word is supernatural, all right? Second, God's word is wisdom-giving. Third, God's word is joy-producing. And fourth, God's word is life-changing, all right? We have supernatural, life-changing, wisdom-giving, and joy-producing. This is what God says about his word. We already established that we believe whatever God says in this word is true. So now, that leads us to believe that we believe God's word is life-changing, wisdom-giving, and joy-producing. That's just math. That's how I figured that out, right? You believe one thing, God says that, this is what happens, this is what we believe. So how? How is God's word life-changing, wisdom-giving, and joy-producing? How? That's what we're going to do. We're going to take one step deeper. We're going to look at Psalm 119, and we're going to try to understand how we can understand God's word to be life-changing, joy-producing, and wisdom-giving. All right, so we're going to turn to Psalm 119. Now listen, I'm not going to read all of Psalm 119, because then Ken says, oh man, I don't want to be up here as long as Micah usually is. So yeah, it's a fantastic psalm, and man, my hope is that after today we go home and we read this all week. Because God has done amazing things in my life the past month as I have read this psalm over and over and over again, so many times. But it's been awesome, because the more of God's word that I have consumed, the more blessing I've experienced. All right, so my hope is that as we leave today, we get into the psalm and we want to understand what God has to say for you personally. Because I know what he said to me, and I'm going to try to share this. All right, so, I'm gonna give a little bit of background on Psalm 119. I have to do it justice since we're not really going to actually read it. I did all the hard work and took out some awesome points. So I want to give it justice and talk about Psalm 119. It's awesome. It's the longest chapter of the Bible, which is why we're not going to read it together here. It's very long, all right? It's a devotional poem celebrating God's word, all right? Celebrating devotion to God's word. It's awesome. If you're into like literary things, like if you really get your kicks off literary styles and grammar and stuff like that, it's awesome. It has some cool things. The first eight verses are focused, they start with the first letter of the Hebrew Bible. And then the second eight start with the second letter of the Hebrew Bible. And then it goes through the entire Hebrew alphabet, eight stanzas at a time for 22 stanzas. I thought somebody in here would be like, "Woo, that is awesome!" It's cool. It's pretty cool. It's beautiful. If you're into the beauty of literature, all right. So what I wanted to mention here, because this is going to play into how we are applying God's word. The psalmist here in Psalm 119 focuses on two things. He focuses on directives for life, and then he focuses on God's promises. All right, so we have God's directives for life and then God's promises. One of them calls for obedience, the directives for life, and then the other one calls for faith, God's promises. All right, faith and obedience, these are the two elements that make up true godliness. And maybe some of you are like me, when I just said that statement, to me that sounds like a very bold statement, that there's two elements that make up true godliness. I was like, whoa. Hold on, I gotta fact check that. That's pretty bold. So, study the Bible. It's throughout the Bible. The one reference I wrote down that I wanted to give you guys is Psalm 38, verses 8 through 14, talks about to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to trust and obey. This is just one of many, all right? So, search that on your own, all right? So, what I did with Psalm 119, since it's very long, is I went through and I took out some main points. I read it a bunch of times, and I'm like, what is God saying to me? And this is what I came up with. I'm going to break this down into three areas. First, it's going to start with terms that the psalmist uses for God's word. There are eight terms that he says in reference to God's word. Not every time does he say, I'm talking about God's word, your word. All right, there's other words he uses, and they're going to be up here. He says law, decree, statute, your word, commandment, command, precept, and promise. There are eight total terms that he uses when he is referencing God's word. So every time we hear one of those eight things, we know, okay, we're talking about what God is saying. We are hearing from God right now when we hear these eight terms. All right? When you hear one of those eight terms in Psalm 119, there is either an application done with it, what the psalmist does with God's word, or there is a result or an outcome from God's word. So those are the eight terms, and as you, hopefully you guys will read it this week and you'll look for those eight things, all right? Second is the application, the things done with God's word. Okay, so the psalmist is referencing God's word. Now what does he do with it? All right, there's 19 things that the psalmist does with God's word, how he applies God's word. And these are them. He meditates on them. He loves them. He longs for them. He sings them. Walks on them. He walks accordingly to. He recounts them, delights in, rejoices in, opens his eyes to, holds fast to, sets his heart on, ponders, trusts in, hopes in, makes the theme of his song, will not forget, considers them right, it does this at all time, tries to, and stands in awe of. These are the 19 things that the psalmist does with God's word. In order for God to speak to us, we need to apply his word to our heart. If we aren't doing any of these things, then what are we doing with God's word? Ask yourself, are you meditating on them? At the least, just ponder them. I mean, I don't think you can get any lower than ponder if you're trying to internalize God's word. Just ponder it. Just think about it for a second. And then escalate it. Look at these other things he meditates on. Loves them. Longs for. Do you long for God's word as if you like hunger for food? I mean, there's times where none of us do. Like, we're all in the same boat. We're just trying to apply God's word, all right? The one that gets me is stand in awe of. Recently, reading through this book with the search team, Dangerous Calling book by Paul Tripp, one of the chapters is being in awe of God. And a lot of us will lose our awe for God. And that's when things get confusing. That's when we start to go off the rails. So this one, I was like, man, am I in awe of God's word, like the psalmist says. All right, he's in awe of God's word. Now remember, when the psalmist wrote this, he only had Genesis through Deuteronomy, man. He had 5 books. We got 61 more books. Like, how much more in awe of God's word should we be? He's blessed us with so much more. So, like, let's just devour it. All right, let's try to apply it like the psalmist does. All right, and then thirdly, let's look at the outcome. All right, let's see what happens when we apply God's word in the one of these 19 ways. Now, focus on this stuff, pay attention, listen to these amazing words that we all seek. All right, when we apply God's word like this, we're blessed, we find joy, we're strengthened, broadened understanding, we're given direction, peace, courage, we walk about in freedom. Man, we all want that. We're given hope. We're not put to shame. Not only do we find comfort, but we find comfort in suffering. That spoke to me. That's awesome. Knowledge is gained. We're made wise. We find wisdom. We're given insight. We're given light, specifically lamp for our feet and light on our path. We're gained discernment, understanding given to the simple, redemption, zeal, passion, delight, praise. These are beautiful words that we all seek in so many things other than God. And then we always wonder why we're disappointed by it. When we apply God's word the way that the psalmist does, these are the outcomes, these are the results in how God blesses us. It's beautiful, all right? And it's true because God's word says it. And we believe that whatever God says is true, all right? And if we believe that, man, I got to quote this. This is hilarious. So, I got to quote the most Irish-sounding writer of all time, Flannery O'Connor. Yeah, that's Irish. All right, this dude says that truth does not change according to our ability to stomach it. Just chew on that for a little bit, all right? Because that hurts. Are we applying God's word this way? And as I did this, as I was preparing this, I realized that, okay, like, yeah, sometimes I do, and then sometimes I don't. And in the midst of me preparing this message, I realize I'm not doing it. I'm looking for results. I skipped the application phase. I'm reading God's word, right? I was in Psalm 119. I was reading it a bunch. And then I'm just looking for those outcomes, all right? Instead of focusing on the application, instead of just meditating on it, allowing God to speak to me through it, all right? And that just kind of speaks to human nature, all right? And I can speak for myself. A lot of times I'm results focused, all right? I want to do things, work with my hands. I want to look for results, trying to skip the application of it. Don't skip that. Look at these words, all right? How the psalmist applies God's word, and then the outcomes will follow naturally, all right? So there's so many good verses in Psalm 119, and we could focus on them and say, okay, how is God speaking to us through this verse or that verse? I'm not going to do that. I could totally talk about verse 9, Grace students, and be like, hey, read that verse. And I'm not going to tell you what the verse is because you guys get to go read it, right? Exactly. Up there, boys. All right. Or I could talk about verse 71 and verse 92. Again, I'm not going to read the verse because I want you guys to go read it for yourself. And how, if you read verse 71 with verse 92, they're not right together, right? You got to read a little bit in between. But if you take them out and you read them together, oh my goodness, how God will speak to you. If you're going through something right now, read verse 71 and verse 92. Man, God is good, all right? But we're not going to focus on those specific verses, all right? The push today is for us to take this general truth that God speaks to us through his word, go home and apply it privately and personally. All right, take this general truth that God speaks to our word and pursue that through private, personal ministry of the word. Go home and do that. Open up the Bible, because when you open this up, you open up wisdom. And when it's closed, there's no wisdom, man. You got to open it up. That's where wisdom comes from. Apply God's word. All right? God will bless us. Not only if we just have God's word and read it, all right, and study it, but God blesses us when we obey his word. All right? Ironically, in order to obey God's word, you have to have it, read it, and study it as well. But that's not just where it ends. You have to be obedient, all right? We talked about those two elements of godliness, true godliness, why I brought that up, obedience and faith. All right, if we believe that what God says is true and right, are we obedient to it? There's two steps there. There's two parts of it. Obey God's word. Apply it to your heart like the psalmist does, and these blessings will follow. All right, so I feel like there should be some practical application here. All right, so I've laid out some pretty basic steps on how to apply this. And this isn't like cutting edge stuff, guys. This is pretty basic. All I could really do was look at godly examples of people in the Bible and how they apply this. And then I could just look at it myself and what I do personally, it works for me. And that's really all I can give you. So that's what I've done. You're not going to be blown away. It's pretty basic, all right? But get ready. Here we go. So, number one, pray. Before you even open up God's word, pray. Ask him to speak to you, all right? Position your heart, your mind, and your body in a place that is ready to hear from God, all right? Maybe you're like me and my boys, and when we pray together, man, we got to sit on our hands. Because like if not, we're just like poking each other in the ears and just like it's ridiculous. So if you got to control your body, whatever you have to do, like I know my wife and a lot of other moms, like they can't pray when they're like by themselves. All right, I think Renee's just her mind's destroyed from 10 years of children screaming every second. So when she hears that, it's a bit comforting. I'm sure there's other moms that can relate. Me, I like pure silence. And by myself, that's so, we're all different, all right? But go to God in prayer first before you even open his word. Position your heart, your mind, and body in a manner prepared to intentionally listen to him. Two, all right, read. Makes sense, right? We're going to read God's word. We've prepared our heart. We ask God to speak to us. Now we're going to open his word, and we're going to read. We're not going to breeze through it. We're not trying to check a box here. We're trying to actually hear from God. And we're going to read it slowly. Read whatever passage you're reading. All right, and yes, I did this with Psalm 119. It was a lot of reading, but a lot of times, like I'm a slow reader, so I'll just like gnaw on like a couple verses or a small chunk of scripture or something, and that seems to work easier for me. Whatever is good for you, whatever helps you to grow and to understand better. All right, so we're reading God's passage slowly. Consider the invitation that reading scripture is actually meeting with God and hearing from him. Automatically assume that. That's what God says, that he speaks to us through his word. So as you read his word, assume that, okay, this is an invitation for me to meet with God and hear from him. Expect that from God, because that's what he says he'll do. Third, reflection. All right, this is reading the passage again slowly while asking the Holy Spirit to show you something. All right, this is our second time through as we're reading this scripture that we're reading. Read it slowly and look for things that God is trying to show you. Things stand out to you. When I first started studying the Bible, it's hilarious, man. God's so funny. Like sometimes he's got to slap you upside the head. You know, I'll be reading something and I'm like, okay, well, that stands out. Okay. And I keep reading. I'm like, what is God trying to tell me? Okay, well, something stands out more than the other thing. Maybe he wants me to focus on that and pray about it. All right. Read God's word. Pray. All right. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you something that he wants you to know. All right, four, respond. And this is just reading through it as you pray. All right? This is the third time as we go through it. And this is actually what I do. I'll try to read the scripture three times. And the third time, as I'm reading through it, I'm praying. All right? And I'm trying to prepare myself for whatever God has to say to me or something that I might have to say to God. All right? Because this is a dialogue we have with God. All right? God loves us enough to have an actual dialogue, not just speak at us. All right? Fifth and final, this is rest. All right? This is contemplation. All right? This is allowing God's Word and the Holy Spirit to penetrate our heart. Okay? Whatever you feel like God has said to you or something that you may have been wanting to say to God, pray about it. Give God time. All right? Sometimes it doesn't happen right like that. Sometimes you need to, like, just sit back and meditate on God's Word and allow Him to penetrate your heart. All right? And then act on it. That's that obedience part too, right? We all have knowledge, but knowledge without action is, I mean, faith without action is dead, right? So we have to act upon it too. All right, so these are the five things, and I'm sure there's a slew of other ways to shape this and mold this, but this is pretty basic. It's very important to pray before we open God's Word. If you're holding something against a brother or sister or something, Matthew 5 outlines it. Go make it right, all right? Confess. If there's anything holding you back from God, anything in between your relationship, give it to Him. And he wants it to just be gone and forgiven and to move on, okay? So that's a big part of it, all right? Sometimes we wonder why God isn't speaking to us through His Word, and it's because we're holding on to things, whether it's bitterness or resentment or sin or something between a brother. Give it to God. Allow Him to speak through His Word. All right, God speaks to us through His supernatural, wisdom-giving, joy-producing, and His life-giving, life-changing Word. Okay, but if we're only doing it on Sunday mornings, then we're cutting the conversation short. All right, open up our Bibles. Let's go to God intentionally, because if we're upset about God not speaking to us, complaining about a silent God while your Bible is closed is like complaining about not getting texts while your phone is off. Open up your Bible. Allow God to speak to you. We're obviously here online, in person. We're taking advantage of this public ministry of the Word. Take it home. Allow God to take the conversation farther and get personal, okay? And yes, this is the part where your kids might ask you about this, all right? Or maybe me. And let's be real. Let's be honest about it. All right, let's take God's Word farther. Let's take it personal and allow it to get deep, because that's when His Word is life-changing and even more joy-producing, okay? Just be intentional. Let's be intentional about hearing God through His Word, because He will speak to us personally. So as the worship team comes up, we're going to pray. Nope, worship team's not coming up. Micah's going to come up. I'm going to close this in prayer. Lord, we love You. We thank You, God, that You speak to us through Your Word. God, You love us so much. You love us enough to send Your Son Jesus to die for our sins so that we can live. And then You love us enough to want to have an ongoing conversation with us daily. You give us Your Word. You put other people in our lives. You give us Your creation. You speak to us in so many ways, God. Today, we're focusing on and we're thankful for the way that You speak to us through Your Word. I pray for us to take advantage of it. God, I pray for this time right now as we're about to go into communion and we talked about coming to the altar. Lord, I'm thankful that You are a God whose arms are wide open. That hug is the most comforting thing we'll ever experience. And I thank You for loving us so much, God. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for a church that is committed to truth, committed to falling on Your Word and trusting in it and doing it together as a community. Lord, You are awesome in how You move and how You bless and how You always prevail. You are good. We love You. And it's in Your awesome name we pray. Amen.